Yeah, he's going to set that up there. Would your tablet show the next slide on mine?
Yeah.
Can I borrow it? I'm not going to. You change it without. I just want to be able to see what's coming up next. There we go. You're too good to me. Well, when you get an Apple guy to give up his iPad to you, man, he's made a sacrifice. It's not exactly like, torture, but it probably approximates. Good morning, everyone. I bring you greetings from your brothers and sisters, as my grandson liked to say, on the other side of the world. When we went to China, he would say, Papa lives on the other side of the world. I tell him, no, we live in China. You live on the other side of the world. But you have brothers and sisters in China who appreciate deeply the American Christians who've helped to send folks to share the Word of God with them. You'll never meet them here. Most of them will never come to America. Most of you will never go to China. But they know how much that the churches in America are involved in supporting the people who come to share the Word of God with them. They want to send you their greetings, and I'll share with you a little bit about some of them as we go through this lesson this morning. I want to tell you how much I appreciate the opportunity and invitation to come and talk with you and to hear the stories about your work and supporting churches in Mexico and other places around the world. And I understand that you're beginning sort of a month-long focus on missions and driving up toward a special mission Sunday. And that kind of emphasis, I think, is a wonderful thing because it gets it off of just a church budget line item and puts it out in front that says, we are a church that's committed to sharing the gospel around the world. And that is a wonderful thing. So I want to talk to you a little bit this morning by asking you a question to begin with. Who was missionary to you? We think about a missionary, someone who goes to a foreign country. Well, we've come to use of that word in that way, or where there's no church, maybe even in our own country where there's no church. But really, the missionary is just, mission is just the idea of carrying the word, fulfilling what Jesus called us to do. He called us to be disciples and to share the word as we go through life. As you were going along, he says, share the gospel with people. So I want you to think a little bit about who was missionary to you. Somebody taught you the gospel. Someone helped you to learn. May have been family, may have been friends, it may have been someone. For me, it was this place and the people who started it and ran it. I came from a broken family. I'll spare you all the details, but basically, my father, while he was a very pleasant person, was on the other hand also rather irresponsible. And so he left my mother with four little children. I was the oldest, and I was in the second grade. She had four children, worked in the cotton mills, just about killed her. They didn't have much help for single mothers with four children 60 years ago. She wound up saying, I cannot take care of these children. I must do something to get them good care. She was a Christian and started looking for a Christian place where we could go to live. A church member in Middle Tennessee, where we lived at the time, told her about this place in Colvin, Alabama called Child Haven. Some of you may have been there or heard about it. I went to live there when I was 8 years old. My mother was a Christian, and she tried and did some things, but she went through a period after she graduated and as a young adult when she kind of began to become marginally involved. As she grew older, she became more committed, and the rest of her life, she was a very dedicated Christian. But she was also concerned that we have a Christian atmosphere. So she made a personal placement to put her four children at Child Haven. Child Haven, people don't think of it as a mission point. They think of it as a children's home. About 6 years ago, I began a page on Facebook for Child Haven alumni, former residents and workers. We now have over 200 people on that. We get together once a year back in Coleman with a group of us to visit again. I always wondered when these people left, because many of the children in an orphan's home don't really want to be there. They don't even particularly like it. And some of them are even bitter, and some still struggle with those things. But I have been amazed at the number of people that I have been able to contact since then that have maintained a spiritual devotion and a commitment to God. And they came from homes where they had seen one parent murder another, where violence was common, where there was no spirituality, no commitment to God. And it was the people at Child Haven that introduced us to God and taught us. It's because of Barney and Lee Brock, who started, they were the first superintendent and his wife there, and my entire time they were there. We call them Mother Lee and Daddy Brock. And he encouraged me and helped me, and as a result, I became a Christian and was very interested in going into ministry. So he became, for me, the one who was my mentor and my introduction to the gospel. I don't know if you can read this, but Paul says here in 1 Timothy 1, I am reminded of, talking of Timothy, of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois, and then your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now also in you. The gospel gets passed on from generation to generation, from person to person. I told the group that was here at Sunday school that we cannot evangelize China. Hunter and I and others who work at the university, we teach people who speak English because we do not speak Chinese. And so we can only teach people who are there to study English at the university. So in the cities where there's no university, and to the multiplied millions of people in China who speak no English, we simply cannot share the gospel. But we can share the gospel with the students who, when they graduate, scatter out all over China and can share the gospel with people in English or Chinese. And so I want to introduce you a little bit to some of them. In verse 14, he says, but it's for you, continue in what you've learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you have learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, were able to make you wise to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Barney and Lee Brock have been dear people in my life for the last 50, 60 years. They did not replace my father. They did not replace my mother. I saw my father maybe two or three times between the time I went when I was 8 years old and the time he died a couple of years ago. I saw my mother many times. We were always close to her. She did the best she could and made a great sacrifice for us, and we never ceased to appreciate that. And we always loved Mom and were close to her. But it was also a very special blessing to have another set of parents. I did a sermon once about the things I learned from my four mothers. Most people just don't count about four, but I won't go into who they were, but Lee Brock was one of them. I want to share with you a little bit about some of the people that we met in China and tell you a little bit about their stories. This is Lee Hanjing. Lee comes from a very poor family in a rural area, a farming family. There were five children in his family, but he was born last, after the one-child policy kicked into effect. So his family had to pay a big fine for having that extra child. I've always been very glad they did not abort Lee. Lee is a fine young man. His family were not Christians. But when he was a senior in high school, a Chinese preacher from one of the little house churches, and there are millions of believers in China, most of whom do not work in the do not worship in the officially approved churches that have big buildings like this and much bigger sometimes. But most of them worship with groups in a house or an apartment. There may be 5 or 10, or there may be 100. But they worship in these unofficial, unapproved house churches. The government knows they're there. They don't usually bother them or persecute them unless they challenge the government. But this preacher came to their town, and he taught his parents, and his parents became Christians. They wanted Lee to come with them to the worship and learn about God. Lee had been in school all his life with teachers telling him constantly, there is no God. Man is here because of evolution. There is no God. He, as young people are inclined to do, had more respect for what the teacher said than for what their parents say. It's amazing sometimes how wise our parents come between our age of 18 and 25. And they suddenly get an unbelievable degree of insight into life. And Lee was still at that stage. He went, he was polite, but he was not interested. When he qualified to go to the university, and in China, you don't just volunteer to go, you have to pass a test, and he passed it. When that young preacher found out about that he was going, he told his father, he reached in his pocket and took out all his money, about 20 RMB, Chinese dollars, worth about $3 American, and gave it to his father and said, give this to your son to help him go to the university. Lee was very eager to go to the university because he said, I want to get away from all this talk about God, and I don't want to get away from all this push to be a Christian. But he was very impressed that this poor preacher had given him what little money he had, even though he knew Lee was not interested in the gospel. He went to the university, and he began to study English. One morning, he was walking around, as they are inclined to do, jabbering, we would say, to themselves, repeating their English practice semi-orally out on a sidewalk. A friend of mine who was there before us, and I'll tell you more about them in a minute, was there, and she said to him, not knowing him, just reaching out to him, I see that you're very interested in English. Yes, Lee said, English is very important. We must learn English well. Well, she says, we have religious discussions in our apartment, and we're from America, and we talk a lot about English. If you want to come, you might can learn English better. Oh, he said, that's wonderful. I would love to come. And so he found out where she lived, and then he said to her, what is a religious discussion? And she said, well, we read the Bible, and we talk about it, and learn about God, and that sort of thing. He didn't say anything to her, but he told me later that he said to himself, oh, no, God again. But he wanted to learn English, so he went, and he tolerated the God talk. And for about a year, he listened and learned English better. And at that point, Lee decided that he wanted to become a Christian. Lee's now been a Christian for about 12 years. In China, if you don't get married by the age of 30, you're called leftover. You're not so desirable anymore. Lee is from a poor family, and to get married in China, the man is supposed to own his own home, not having payments, but having it paid for. Usually paid for by money the parents have saved for years to give him so the wife will agree to marry him because he has a home. Then when they get old, they will come and live in that home with them. But Lee's parents were poor. They had no money to give him, and so he was a poor man with no home. And it was a difficult thing, but he made a commitment that he would find a Christian wife. He would not just get married to anyone. October 1st, last year, my wife and I were in Kunming, China, for Lee's wedding. He's now 34, a late marriage in China, but he found a Christian wife. He's been a dedicated worker. He worked with us, taught the Chinese students in Chinese, and shared their faith, his faith with them so that they would hear it from a Chinese man, not from a Westerner, because the teachers often say Christianity is just Western religion. And Lee was a great blessing. But I also want to introduce you to Lee's missionary. Lee is in the left hand, right hand is my left hand for you, I believe. He's in this corner. In the other corner is his missionary. That's Gary and Signa Cook. When I moved to Dover, Delaware in 1980, Gary was a Christian for about a year. Came from a very non-Christian family. Went into Hardee's where this lady was working and was interested and asked her out. She said, I don't know you. I'm not going anywhere with you. And so she went home and said to her dad, guess who asked me out today? Gary Cook. Well, his dad listened to the radio. Gary was a disc jockey. He loved Gary. He said, go with him. He said, I don't know him. Well, he said, if he asks you again, go. He came back. Ask again. She said, I'm going to church. You can go with me there if you want to. Gary came from a family where if you said Romans, he assumed you were talking about Italians. And he said, Old Testament, he said, you get two volumes? He knew nothing, no religion. But he got interested in her, went, became a Christian, and they were there living in Dover. For 8 years, he worked in other things, and we did a lot of mentoring, and then he went into full-time ministry. But after 15 years, his daughter, who was one when we moved to Dover, went to China with China Now. He went to visit. Then he came back, talked to his wife, and she said, I think we should go too. They spent 11 years. In China. When we were in Dover, Gary was the new Christian. I was the mentor. So it was Ron and Gary. 2007, we went to China. Gary had already been there for 3 or 4 years, a very effective worker. And we did the, you know, in the Acts, it's Barnabas and Paul, Barnabas and Paul. They go on that first journey, and from then on, it's Paul and Barnabas. Well, in Dover, Delaware, it was Ron and Gary. I got to China, it was Gary and Ron. He became my mentor. But Gary did a wonderful job and shared the gospel with many of these people. And I'm going to have to tell these stories quicker, or we're going to be eating dinner, not lunch. We're partners together with God in Philippians 1, 3 through 8. I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. I hope you understand and feel that you are partners with Hunter. Not everyone here can go to China. But Connor can't go if people don't stand behind him and help him in America. And so when we send people to China, or you send people to Mexico, or to Africa, or to Europe, this church becomes partners with them and with God to get the word of God to people who won't know it otherwise. I hope you have a sense of joy and involvement in the missions around the world that you support, and that when you hear reports, you take pleasure and joy that people that you've contributed to by helping the missionaries to go and share the word. You are partners with God and with them in the work that we're doing. In the next half of that passage, he says, it's right for me to feel this way, that we're partners, he says. It's right for me to feel that way about you. Since I have you in my heart, whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, for all of you, in God's grace, you share it with me. God can testify how I long for you with all the affection of Christ Jesus. These people in China have this sense of partnership with the American Christians because they're the ones who sent someone to tell them the gospel. Let me tell you Laura Zhang's story. She also lives in Jingzhou, and I'll have to be quick. Laura Zhang went to college, studied Russian, wanted to study Russian. They said, no, you're an English major. It might seem strange to you, but in China, you don't always get to pick what you study. And they didn't want her to learn Russian. They said, you're an English major. She hated English. But she learned it well and finally got interested in it, excited about it, became an English teacher. She married, had a baby. But Laura was inclined to depression and discouragement. Her husband worked away from her a lot. She had the baby to take care of. She had a class to teach. And in China, your sense of responsibility as a teacher for your students is huge. And 1 year they took the big test at the end of the year to measure how good they were at English. Her class did terrible. She felt so guilty and so responsible for her class not doing well. She was depressed about this and that and the other. She went to the fourth floor balcony and jumped over, hoping to kill herself. She did not. She didn't even have any serious injuries. A week in the hospital for some internal bleeding, and she was out. But while she was there, she says to herself, as she told us, there's got to be more to life than I know. I've got to find out if there's a God. She got out of the hospital, went to the government church, didn't find anything that really helped her, and found it underwhelming. One of her coworkers one day said something about American teachers over at the university who are meeting in their apartment. They're studying Bible and you can learn English better. And she was an English teacher. They always want to learn English better. She said, they said, you can go. She said, oh, I'll go. I want to learn English, but I want to know about this Bible thing too. She knocked at Gary's apartment door one day and said, I hear you having meetings. Can I come? Sure. I didn't know the story of Laura Zhang's background. When I went, she'd been a Christian for about a year. I never saw anyone sing with more enthusiasm and more joy, and she's just the happiest person you ever meet, dedicated, hardworking. She's taught many of her students, many of the university girls. We would introduce them to Laura. She would teach them. Then she would bring them and say, this girl wants to be baptized. A very dedicated worker. I didn't know the background for years. I was very, very surprised. I also learned that from the time she started learning about God, all the depression medication that she'd taken in the past, she quit taking and hasn't had any of it in the years since because of the peace that she found as a Christian. This is a wonderful experience that we share in a partnership. In Romans chapter 10, verses 14 to 15, how then can we call on one, they call on one that they've not believed in, and how can they believe in one and whom they have not heard? And how can they hear unless someone preaches to them? And how can anyone preach unless they're sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Now, that's a weird way to say it. Anybody ever tell you have beautiful feet? If they did, you'd probably think they were crazy. People have said a number of things to me, but none of them ever that my feet were beautiful. This is obviously an idiom. One of the translations renders it, how wonderful is the coming of messengers who bring good news. And that's probably a real good meaning of the phrase. These people are many of them speaking. Some are not. Some are rigid. They just want to get rich. Some will never think about God. I've learned all my life there is no God. I believe in science, whatever. But there are many. Like in the movie we showed at Sunday school, Xiaoqing says, I started asking questions about what is the meaning and purpose of life. There has to be more than just making money, living and dying. There has to be more to this. And she started asking. Many others also ask questions like that. Samuel Zhao Long is another one of those brothers that became a Christian and became a dedicated worker. And I'm not going to tell you all about him except to say that he also made the commitment that he would not marry till he found a Christian wife. He was about 33. This past summer, he married. When we were there a year ago, I met his girlfriend then, now his wife, for the first time. And she's a very sweet young lady, also a dedicated Christian. These men have made a commitment to be faithful disciples, and they know how important that having a Christian spouse can be to them if they're going to be faithful to that. They've made a commitment. They've paid a price. They've delayed and been pushed and pressured by family and friends to not wait to get married, but they were committed. I'm going to be a Christian. I'm going to find a Christian spouse, and I'm going to keep serving the Lord. And it's been a wonderful thing. A little different story. Hilda was a nursing student that came to our apartment to study with us. Hilda may have lacked some things, but self-confidence is definitely not one that she lacked anything in. I would tease them sometimes because they like to say they're good girls and boys. And I would see Hilda when she came every week, and I'd say, Hilda, have you been a good girl this week? And Hilda would say, I'm always a good girl. I'm always a good girl. And sin in China is a little hard concept, because if you translate the English word sin into Chinese, you get the word crime. And if somebody came to you and said, you know, you need to repent and serve the Lord because you need to have your crimes forgiven, you might say, hey, I'm not a criminal. And that's their reaction. So she just didn't feel like this sin thing had any relation to her. So one night when she was there, we made a point to study the Bible description and definition of sin. And afterwards, Hilda came to me and said, maybe I'm not as good as I thought I was. And she was saying all the time, I don't believe in God. She was resistant, but she's not closed. She thinks. When she got ready to leave and go away after graduation, she still was not a Christian, and she said to us, I do not believe in God, but when I go to Beijing, I want to find Christians to study with because I learn good things from the Bible. I often tell our teachers that the person who may have the greatest impact for the gospel in China may be one of your students that becomes a Christian, and you'll never know. They meet you. They see Christ in your life. They see the character of your soul and spirit. They see your love. They see how you live. And they may not be willing or open yet because of their situation to really ask questions about life and think about God, but they will not lose that influence that you've had on them. 20 years from now, they may be facing some stress, some problems, some difficulties in life, and some Chinese Christian brother comes along and says, you need to listen and think about God. They may and will be more open then because of our teachers having touched their lives now than they would ever have been otherwise. So that person may then be open to listening to the gospel when they're closed now. Only God knows how all of this works. I'm going to stop here and do a commercial. I'm not selling anything. I'm giving things away. First of all, we're going to start at the back on each side and then one up at the front, a clipboard. If you would like to have a newsletter where we clip out notes the teachers send us back and send them out about every 6 or 8 weeks to tell people about things they experience in China, you can fill out your name and email and mark a newsletter and we'll send it to you. I will tell you, I've signed up for some things before only to regret it deeply. When I get letters or emails every week or a few days, send us money, send us money, send us money. We do not do that. The email is just a newsletter. You'll get it about every 6 or 8 weeks, and we will not ask for money. That's not its purpose. The other thing is, if you want to know more about teaching in China, there's a place for you to mark that as well. And when you leave today, there will be some young men at the back, and they will have sheets look like this. If you'd like some information to answer most of the questions printed, we have them for you, and you can take one from them, and they will be glad to share one with you. Have any questions? My name and number and email is there. You're welcome to call me anytime. Okay, enough of the commercial in the sermon. Do you get commercials every week in the sermon? Maybe not. I don't. This is Wang Huchang that Hunter referred to earlier about someone going to his apartment to be baptized. Wang Huchang was a professional translator at a local company and knew English rather well, but he had no students at the university. His daughter, the one in the red, Sansan, was at that time only about 13 years old. But one of his co-workers said, "My son's going to university, and he's been going to meetings with a bunch of Americans, and they talk English all the time. They're studying Bible and all, but they're learning English better, and he says anybody can come." So Wang gets in the family car, or on the family car. It was a little e-bike, and he tootles across about 30 minutes over to Gary's house and knocks on the door and says, "Can I come?" And Gary said, "Sure." Well, after about 4 months, Gary said, "Wang, you've been coming for a while. Are you thinking about being a Christian?" "No, no, no." He says, "I just come to learn English better." "Fine, you're welcome." 4 months later, Gary said, "Wang, you think about being a Christian?" "No, I just come to learn English better." Went on for a year. And one day, Wang came to Gary and said, "Gary, I want to be a Christian." Wang has been a Christian now for 12 years. A very dedicated brother, his wife and daughter were also converted later. He now has a house church of Chinese people from the community that meet at his home every week. About 35 Chinese Christians, most of whom speak no English. We could never have taught those people. Wang has reached out to them. And it's interesting the influence this has. Wang meets in his house and his living room, and everybody up and down the row of his houses know, because the windows are open, they hear him singing, they see people coming in and out, and besides, there just are no secrets in China. Privacy is almost a non-existent policy in China. They will pick up anything in your house, they'll open up your books, they'll open up your mail, they'll open up your shopping bag and pull things out. What did the foreigner buy? Because they don't think anything about it. Americans would say, "That's rude." Chinese wouldn't even understand what you meant. So everybody knows what Wang does at his house. Interesting, though, the man across the street says to his wife, "I want you to start going over there to Wang's Christian meetings because they're good people over there and they teach people to be better." So his wife started coming. And he says his wife is better now. She's also a Christian now. I thought that was interesting, though. The man who wasn't interested in being a Christian wanted his wife to go learn from the Christians how to be a better person. So it may be that down the line, his wife may be, or her husband may become a Christian as well. Wang has been a very dedicated brother and a great worker. How do we share the gospel with unbelievers? That's one of the questions that people always ask when they go to China. They're atheists. How do we share the gospel with people who don't believe in the Bible, who don't know anything about God, who've been told all their life there is no God? Well, first of all, sometimes folks think they've got to convince them that evolution is false and that the Bible is dependable. Well, how many of you became Christians because somebody persuaded you that evolution was false and you could trust the Bible? I doubt it. You became Christians because you heard the story. You learned about Jesus. You understood the heart of God. And there was something attractive about it, and there's also something convicting about it. Because when you listen to and see the holiness and the purity of Jesus' motivation and his life and his love, we are thrilled but we're also convicted. And so it is hearing that story that changes things. So I tell new teachers, don't worry about trying to get into all the academic arguments. Those things will come and those questions will need to be addressed in time. But first, tell them the story of Jesus. Let them learn of the heart of God, of His love, of His mercy, of His compassion for the poor, of His willingness to challenge people who wanted to abuse their political power and take advantage of the poor, of His willingness to love even the people who were guilty, and to say to them, I'm not here to condemn you. Go and don't keep on doing those bad things. So those kind of things make a great deal of difference. The first thing that we do to share the gospel with people who are not believers is you let them see your life. You don't put on a show. You're not shining a spotlight on me and look how good I am. I've heard people say that sometimes people do testifying, and in testifying what they do is they tell people how bad they used to be and how good they are now. Well, if that's what you're doing, you're probably going to be unpersuasive in the first place. But that's just not what it's all about. You just let people see you as a real person. In China, some of the ways that it exhibited itself, they have street sweepers who have big brooms, no education, low pay, and very poor, and they are sweeping the sidewalks and the streets in the universities. The university students never speak to a street sweeper. Well, there are a number of reasons. First of all, they're older, they're poor, they're uneducated, they're not important people. So the students sort of feel like, oh, why should I speak to them? And I would say to them, because they're people. God loves them as much as He loves us. And just simply caring about everyone, whether they can do anything for you or not, is a new concept. In China, they have something called guanxi. It means relationship. At the elevator, if this were the elevator door and I was standing here talking to someone, there might be four students who'd come and jump in front of me and stand right in front of the door. People wouldn't do that in America. It's not courteous. But they would do it. My students would never do it because my students have guanxi, relationship with me. So if you have relationship, you feel responsible to think about and care about another person. No relationship, they're not really there. So you can jump in front of them, walk around them, ignore them. They just aren't real. Those street sweepers, they have no relationship with. When they begin to see Christian people who care about poor, unimportant people who can't do anything about it, they begin to think differently. Let them see your heart. Let them see your love. In America, the same thing is true. Don't be afraid to just be real with people. You don't have to pretend you're better than you are. Let them see your faults. Don't be afraid of that. Nobody believes that a Christian doesn't have faults. The difference between the believer, the sincere Christian, and the non-believer or insincere Christian is not whether they have faults or not. It's how they deal with them. It's whether they're willing to acknowledge them, to go and make them right. If they care enough to confess, and the word confess just means to say the same thing God says about it. If I was rude, selfish, greedy, or arrogant, and that's what God would say, then confession means I say the same thing God does. It means to agree with God. And the other people don't agree with God. They try to tell you why they really weren't so bad, why they aren't accountable. Showing your life and your sincerity really makes a difference. Showing your love and compassion. And then when you build a relationship and touch the heart, then people are willing to listen to the word. It's not that you have to do one and then the other. It's just that if they don't see your life, nothing you're going to say is going to make the great difference it should in their life, unless it's first made a difference in your life. So if you want to be missionaries in Columbus, Mississippi, or wherever you live, let people see your life. Reach out to people. Open up. Care about folks, include them, recognize them, love them, and look for ways in which you can encourage them and help them. And then down the road, you'll have some people that you can just say, as we would say to the students, we study the Bible. It's been a great blessing in our life. If you'd like to come and sit in our group and read and study, we'd be glad to have you. If they don't want to come, okay. Don't try to push them. Give them a chance to make their own choice. But don't be afraid, as you build relationships, to encourage them to also begin to think about the Word. And those two go together. Isn't that what Jesus did? He came to this world for us to see His heart. He didn't have my faults and flaws. That's not what I identify. But when I see the heart of God, I begin to want to be close to that. I begin to be drawn to it. That's why Jesus said, if I'm lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. So when people hear and see the spirit of Christian living lifted up, they're drawn to that. There's something attractive about people who love and are merciful and are forgiving and are kind, consider the poor, not just the important, will help people who need help, not just those who can do something back for them. And when they do, people begin to give credibility that causes them to say, maybe you can teach me something or help me learn something about life, I don't know. So Chai Ching found a Christian teacher and spent time with her. And as she began to see the way she lived, she says, I think you can help me learn something about the purpose and meaning of life. And today, Chai Ching is a Christian because she met a Christian who showed the Spirit of Christ. As you think about being mission supporters and missionaries in your town, I hope you will think about the power of your life to touch the heart and soul of someone else. You don't have to be fake. Just be real. Be honest with yourself and with them. Let them see your love. Let them see your care. And then you will have a way to open up the Word to them as well. People have tried to share the gospel with you in life. I hope you have made a commitment to being a Christian and a disciple of Jesus. If you've listened and heard about it and thought about it but never taken it very seriously, then it's time for you to take it seriously and make that commitment yourself. If you've gone along the easy route, because it is easy in America to be a Christian, we don't have the stigma to it that in China you may have if your employer finds out you're a Christian. And it's easy just to be nominal, just to sort of be there and not be in. Not a disciple, not a partner with God in sense of your own view of your life. If that's the way you've been living, it's time to change. Make the commitment to be a true disciple, to become a partner with God, to change first yourself and then people around you. So if you are interested or willing to make that commitment or want the church to pray for you as you continue to live and grow as a Christian, we're going to encourage you to come and tell us. And we're going to stand and sing a song that's been selected.